Life on Mars is going to call for some adaptation, and future astronauts will need to learn to cooperate under pressure and adapt to months of isolation and confinement. Brian Ramos is an electrical and biomedical engineer who has just emerged from an eight-month mission inside a simulated Martian habitat on Hawaii Island as part of the High Seas, our Hawaii Space Exploration Analog and Simulation Program. Brian and his cohorts packed into a small space to assess, quote, risk of performance decrements due to inadequate cooperation, coordination, communication, and psychosocial adaptation within a team. We asked Brian what it was like.
The experience was fantastic. I built a lot of good relationships with my crew members. We came in as six strangers and came out as a team that worked very well together. And I learned a lot of skills while I was in there. So worked with filming with 360-degree cameras. We did geology work. I learned how to 3D print items, fly drones. I mean, there was a ton to learn throughout the process, both in interpersonal skills, self-growth, and technical ones as well.
In terms of technical expertise, what were some of your individual areas of expertise that you folks brought to this?
Sure. So mine, I'm a biomedical and electrical engineer, and I had some experience working on habitat design at NASA, as well as some international development. We had a Google programmer, so we had some programming skills on our team. We had a geologist, and we had a few other engineers, so we were able to tackle a lot of our tasks, geology being one of them, by utilizing those skills. So anytime we had a geology task and needed to go out and explore a lava cave or something like that, we had some leadership there, we had some prior experience, so that helped a lot.
So although you're not a geologist, you would, under the guidance of your geologist colleague, you'd be able to help out on his projects and he with yours, is that right?
That is absolutely correct. So basically what happened was we would be given a task by mission support and say, okay, we need you to go out and measure this thing or investigate this area and see what you can find out about it. So a lot of times when we had more in-depth questions, that individual was able to provide a lot more information and expertise that he had. And, in a lot of ways we were able to help with our expertise as well. So, for example, one of the tasks we did was I went out with one of the other members to fly a drone, and then we were able to use that aerial imagery to confirm some of the things that our geologist was saying about the area.
So you were getting out of the dome periodically, but still basically dealing as if you were on Mars?
Right. So anytime we leave, we actually leave in our simulated spacesuits. So we always have a barrier kind of to the outside world. We're not feeling wind or anything like that. We're in communication over radios. And it's similar to what we call EVA, extravehicular activity, mm-hmm. Similar to astronauts, when they step out of their capsule onto the moon, that's known as an EVA. So we would do the same. Anytime we went out, we would follow those protocols.
How much does the suit weigh?
Not much at all. Not much at all. They're not real spacesuits. They're there specifically to create a barrier between us and the outside world. So they're not a high fidelity. They're just, they preserve the experiment, which is keeping us isolated, keeping us confined, and seeing how we act under those situations.
And the one of the aspects of the experiment was you didn't have communication with the outside world, right? You didn't know what was going on outside of your world.
So we had communication on 20-minute delay. So what that meant was if we send an email, it took 20 minutes to get to that individual, and when they responded, 20 minutes to get to us. What it also meant is that there's no live internet access, so you can't Google things, you can't Skype or video chat or anything like that. So when we had an issue, we have to talk to mission support, we have to send them, requests, and then they would try to get that information and send it back to us, which can be a little bit difficult. So if something's miscommunicated, your problem takes an extra hour to solve, essentially. So that's one of the main challenges that we face, for sure.
Is that roughly the time lag you would face on Mars, or would it be even greater then?
That's correct, yeah. It's greatest it's going to be about 20 minutes.
So as much as possible, you're trying to simulate an experience that, essentially an experience that no one has had yet. So kind of
absolutely, yeah.
Did you feel like pioneers?
A little bit. I mean, during some of the tasks, for sure, we were able to set up our own EVAs at times and go out and just kind of poke around and look at things that we wanted to. And a couple of us really spent a lot of time doing this. So we'd go out and you'd find these giant skylights. They're basically tubes created by flowing lava underneath the ground. And in areas the roof has collapsed, so you would find these skylights, and you would some of them are accessible, so you actually climb down, you start exploring the lava tubes. And in those moments, you certainly feel like a pioneer because it's somewhere you've never been. You might be the first person to be there. And, you know, you might be crawling through a tight space or, you know, really getting inside of these really expansive natural creations. And it was quite the experience.
Just a kind of a small hint of the excitement that would attend on a real Mars voyage, wouldn't it be?
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. And, I mean, what we do doesn't compare in terms of the challenges, but certainly get a glimpse into it. And we had the same with our resource management. So all of our power was self-generated on solar power. So when we had low power, we'd have to go out and deal with that. We had water resupplies, but we had to monitor all of our resources, as you would on Mars.
Sure.
Which really kind of gets you in that mindset.
Do you feel well-prepared by this experience?
I feel that I've gotten a lot out of this experience, absolutely. I mean, all of us know how to interact in a professional setting. We all know how to interact in a social setting and, you know, around family. Those are all very kind of different ways of acting. This is the first time where they have all been the same. So your colleague that you go to work with in the morning is the one that you might be cooking dinner for in the afternoon or watching a movie with, or all those interactions affect one another. So the way you speak to somebody during recreational time will affect your work, and the way you speak to them during work will affect the rest of your life, and, you know, the rest of your day. So we have to learn how to interact in that environment.
It really sounds as if the social dynamics, the human interaction is really central to this whole experiment.
Absolutely. That's our greatest challenge is how do you create a solid team and deal with conflict despite, you know, having the delays, having these stressors and things to get done, and not really being able to walk away from one another for a very long distance.
Well, what are some of the lessons you took away from that?
I think one of the big lessons, which is kind of, you know, I think it's true on Mars and I think it's true on Earth, is just having open communication. You have to be able to come to the table and pull someone aside, and as unpleasant as it may be, say, hey, you know, and either I know that you're struggling with this or I'm having an issue with this, we need to talk about it. And sometimes it's just about being cognizant of how other people are feeling and opening the table for that discussion. So sometimes you might notice that someone's getting frustrated and you have to sit down at the table and say, okay, what's bothering people? What are people's pet peeves? And kind of open that door for those things to come out, so then you can then deal with them as a team and start building in mitigations for them.
Well, Brian, I don't know if it would work for everybody to be locked up with five strangers for 8 months, but it does sound as if it was pretty educational for all concerned.
Absolutely, yeah. It was a very, very positive experience, and I think you're right. It takes a certain set of people who are really dedicated to the mission and dedicated to interpersonal relationships. Without that, I think it would be much more troublesome.
Brian Ramos is one of the crew members who just emerged from 8 months in a Mars habitat as part of the High Seas, our Hawaii Space Exploration Analog and Simulation Program. You can get details on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page.